The following is a holiday reading and sermon from Providence Presbyterian Church, located at 3510 Austin Parkway in Sugar Land, Texas.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, and your love and grace, you've called us into your presence again on this joyous and beautiful morning. And we come as your people to offer our worship, to give you the praise and thanksgiving that is yours and yours alone. And we ask it in your grace, you would open our ears to hear your voice as we read Holy Scripture again this day, that we might be drawn closer to you and in thankfulness live as your children, the disciples of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalms this morning are 107 and 116, and we will read these responsively. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Whom he has redeemed from the hand of his enemy.
And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west.
From the north and from the south.
They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way.
They found no streams of water.
Hungry and thirsty.
Their souls fainted in them.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he led them forth by the right way. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. For he satisfies the longing soul. Those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, because they rebelled against the words of God,
and despised the counsel of the Most High.
Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor.
They killed them down, and there was none to God.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble.
And he saved them out of their distress.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. For he has broken the gates of bronze.
And cut the bars of iron in two.
Fools, because of their transgression.
And because of their iniquities were afflicted.
Their soul abhorred all manner of food. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble.
And he saved them out of their distress.
He sent his word and healed them.
And delivered them from their oppression.
Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness.
And for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Those who go down to the sea in ships. They seek the works of the Lord.
And his wonders in the deep.
For he commands and raises the stormy wind. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble.
And he brings them out of their distresses.
He calms the storm.
So that his ways are still.
Then they are glad because they are quiet.
So God guides them through their desire and pain.
Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness.
And for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people. He turns rivers into a wilderness,
and the water streams into dry ground.
A fruitful land into barrenness.
For the wickedness of those who dwell in it.
He turns a wilderness into pools of water,
and dry land into water streams.
There he makes the hungry dwell,
that they may establish a city for a dwelling place.
And sow fields and plant vineyards,
that they may.
He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly.
And
Where are they, when they are diminished and brought low? He pours contempt on princes. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction. The righteous see it and rejoice. Whoever is wise will observe these things. I love the Lord because he has heard
my voice and my supplications.
Because he has inclined his ear to me.
Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live.
The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me.
I found trouble and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Yes, our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple.
I was proud of him in his name.
Return to your rest, O my soul.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death.
My eyes from tears and my feet from falling.
I will walk before the Lord. I believed, therefore I spoke.
I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my haste,
all men are liars.
What shall I render to the Lord?
For all his benefits were for me.
I will take the cup of salvation
and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord
and out of the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
O
Lord, truly I am your servant.
I am your servant, son of your maidservant. You have delivered my bowels.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
And I will call upon the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the people of Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord. Hear the word of our Lord from James chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Lord from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village there, met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanksgiving Day, a tradition with us that is always, in our country at least, a joyous day of feasting with family and friends. But there is more to this day than feasting and family. Days appointed for Thanksgiving have a long history with us, going all the way back to the days of the Old Testament. I read again this week the Westminster Directory of Worship. No, I wasn't bored. I was just interested. I hadn't read it in a long time. And I looked up this thing on days of Thanksgiving. This Westminster Directory was published, by the way, in 1647. And the directory states, if at any time the civil power should think it proper to appoint a fast or Thanksgiving, it is the duty of the ministers and people of our communion, as we now live under a Christian government, to pay all due respect to the same. Now, that may be a little bit more optimistic about Christian government than we would be. But maybe it's our neglect of prayer that has helped contribute to where we are. Now, of course, our annual Day of Thanksgiving is a remnant of an earlier Christian consensus. And we of all people should be thankful that we have this reminder and remainder of Christian culture. The directory continues that persons may so order their temporal affairs that they may properly attend to the duties thereof. So the directory says when the government calls or the civil authorities call for days of Thanksgiving, we are to order our affairs so that we can attend to the duties of this day. What are the duties of this day? The directory continues, there shall be public worship on all such days, and let the prayers, psalms, portions of scripture to be read, and sermons be all in a special manner adapted to the occasion. And we are to spend a more than usual part of the time in the giving of thanks and in singing psalms and hymns of praise. It is a duty of people on these days to rejoice with gladness of heart. The duty, but also the joy, the privilege of gathering in the presence of God, as you and I are doing today, to take time to give thanks to Him for all of the things that He has done for us. I began with Psalm 107, and somebody's probably wondering, how is Alan going to preach a sermon on all three of these passages when each one of them would take an hour? I hope you have nothing in the oven. Okay, I'm kidding, okay? Most of you have heard me preach from the passage in Luke several times. That's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, or in the Gospels. And when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of the lepers. But the Psalms are beautiful, aren't they? Psalm 107 appears to have been written especially for such a service as we celebrate today. The author almost shouts at the beginning and several times during the psalm, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." Isn't that great? For He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Can't every one of you say that today? That the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. And then, as if to illustrate all of this, the writer reminds the people of God of their redemption from exile. This could refer to Egypt. This could refer to Babylon. This could refer to any of God's people exiled from the presence of God after the fall in the Garden of Eden. The return from exile. God has restored you too, hasn't He? haven't you been restored from exile? From exclusion from the presence of God and exclusion from the garden, God has graciously brought you back. So that as we gather today and every day, it's as if we have entered the Holy of Holies, for indeed we have. We're in the presence of God. And God says to you, you are my son, my daughter. My love is set upon you. You have been restored to me and to my family. And so we too gather to give thanks, remembering that God has redeemed us and restored us to his presence, just as truly as he did Israel in the Old Testament. In verse 8, the psalmist cries out again, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then he reminds the congregation of the Lord's wonderful works. The Lord has delivered them from the judgment of God for their sin. And the judgment of God for sin is death. Has that happened to you too? Haven't you been delivered from the judgment of God, which is death? And the resurrection of Jesus, haven't you been raised to new life? Thanks be to God. Shouldn't we set aside times to do nothing but give thanks to God for his grace to us? I don't always do it, but I've told myself on various occasions every time I look into the mirror, I ought to look into the mirror and remind myself of who I am. That by God's grace, I am redeemed, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nothing that I have done, everything that he has done. All of his love and grace to me. In verse 15, the psalmist cries out again, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In verse 20, he states, he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. What on earth would that apply to in your case? He sent his word and healed them. Sunday is Advent. Four Sundays of Advent, and then Christmas, which falls on Sunday this day. And I'm told that this year, and I'm told that some churches around us are already canceling it because they don't want Christmas to interfere with whatever it is they do on that day. What do we do at Christmas? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What happened to the lepers? He healed them. But the one who came back, he healed of sin and death. The Lord sent his word, and the word has healed us. And that word is Jesus Christ. Again, in verses 21 and 31, the psalmist shouts out the refrain, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's as if the one who wrote this psalm cannot quite contain himself. The grace of God is beyond belief. Isn't that true? Isn't that true for you too? That the grace and love of God is beyond your wildest expectations. If you haven't recognized that, you haven't understood what God has done. So how can we express our thanksgiving to God for his wonderful works for us? In Psalm 116, verse 12, this very question is asked, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I bet we could have sung that this morning, couldn't we? Because we will in a couple of weeks. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How would you answer this question? Indeed, how can you properly express your thanks to God for all of his blessings? How can you do it? Difficult, isn't it? How do we, someone who is, think Mother's Day. How do you, those of you who are adults, go to your mother and say, thank you. You gave me life. You nourished me. You changed my diapers. You taught me. You brought me into the church. All that I've turned out to be, in some sense, you've had a hand in. How on earth do you say thanks for something like that? And yet what God has done is even greater than that. Because he loved us when we were poor, miserable, wicked sinners, alienated from him, running away as fast as we could, not wanting anything to do with him. How do we give thanks to God for his blessings? Our Psalms offer a threefold answer. First, Psalm 107, verse 22, and 116, 17 informs us that we can offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a sacrifice? Well, yes. You could be sleeping in this morning, right? You could be out shopping. You could be home preparing the feast. But instead, you've given of your time and of your life to enter into the presence of God and stop and say, thank you for all that you have done. You have begun your day of thanksgiving, actually taking time, sacrificing time to giving thanks to the Lord. 1977, I graduated from seminary and I took my first church in Alabama. And the 1st of November came up and I called the elders together and I said, what do you do for Thanksgiving? They looked at me and said, what? And I said, days of Thanksgiving. We're having Thanksgiving. What do you do for Thanksgiving? We watch football. I said, okay, well, I'm going to have service. They said, what? And I said, well, it's either Thanksgiving Day or it's football day. If it's Thanksgiving Day, then we're going to have service. Okay. They let me do it. And ever since, wherever I've been, there's been a service on Thanksgiving. We enter into the presence of God because it's a day of thanksgiving. And we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Think God expects a thank you? Yeah, probably. Don't you? Expect he's due one? Oh, lots of them. Don't you? I remember my mother, who worked full-time, usually about 50 hours a week as I was growing up, and she was also head of the Women's Missionary Society at church, and she was treasurer at church, and her and my father were Cub Scouts or Boy Scout leaders all of the time, youth group leaders, always doing something. When I was in high school, I would come home at 11 o'clock at night, and the coffee pot would be on, and she would be doing the ironing, because that was the way she worked. I don't know how she did it. But she was always in charge of doing things, and she would take food to those who were hungry, or she'd take Thanksgiving turkeys to those who didn't have any money. She was always doing something, and I remember her coming back, and Dad saying, what'd they say? And she's saying, they didn't say, thank you, kiss my foot, or nothing. I cleaned it up. Okay? She was surprised. The people would get together and do something for somebody, and the least they could do is say, thank you, and they didn't do it. In a similar way, the Lord enjoys our giving of thanks to him. Paul in Hebrews exhorts us, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. Continually. This is what you and I are doing today. And your thanksgiving is pleasing to the Lord. True, we should offer thanks to the Lord every day, and most of us hopefully do, but isn't it fitting that we should set apart days of thanksgiving too? To say we're coming into the presence of God, not because we want something, not because we have any request. We're just becoming because he is our God, and we're so thankful for all that he's done. We just want to say thank you. And sing praises to his name and rejoice in his presence as his people. In our familiar gospel lesson, only one of the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed returned to give thanks. And did you note that his bowing before Jesus in thanksgiving was an expression of his faith? This is one reason Thanksgiving is pleasing to the Lord. It proceeds from faith in and love for Him. Secondly, the psalmist writes that as giving of thanks, we can take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This cup of salvation to which he refers is literally the cup, the libation, which was drunk by the people when they feasted in the presence of the Lord, following the sacrifice of the peace offerings. This is analogous to our celebration of the Lord's Supper, which the Apostle Paul calls the cup of blessing. In partaking of the bread and wine, we confess our faith in Jesus Christ. We call upon the Lord as our Redeemer, and we offer our thanks to Him. The word Eucharist, which is the term we use to describe this table, this service of the table, is the Greek word, which means thanks. Eucharisto means I give thanks. It's a feast of thanksgiving. So it is altogether fitting that our Thanksgiving feast begins at the table of the Lord, with our true family, the church of Jesus Christ. And then it moves to our homes. I can't help but think that God is pleased that on this joyous occasion we begin by giving thanks to Him. Thirdly, the psalmist writes about what shall we render to the Lord, that He will pay His vows to the Lord. That is, his life will be characterized by obedience to the Lord. James hits on the same theme in our epistle lesson. He reminds us that all that we have is a gift of God's grace to us. Our lives and the new life we have in Christ is a gift of God's grace to us. The home that you will go to in a few moments is a gift of God's grace to you. The table at which you sit is a gift of God's grace. The food that you will take is a gift of God's grace. The air that you breathe is a gift of God's grace. Everything is gift from God to us. Our lives are all gifts of grace. And James reminds us that our response to God's grace includes meekness before Him, patience with others, and this is an expression of love for God and love for our neighbor. James writes that our thanks includes putting off all wickedness, even to the point of controlling our tongues. And he exhorts us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why should that be so difficult to understand? If the word is the word of our God, the word of King Jesus, how can we be anything but doers of it? We not only want to hear, and we want to hear anxiously, but we want to believe, we want to act in terms of us. This is the word of the Lord, and we shall do it, and we shall keep it. We respond to God's grace with praise and thanks. We respond to God's grace with feasting at His table. We respond to God's grace by obedience to what He has told us. For in obedience, we acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and that we are God's children. Thanksgiving doesn't end here in worship, nor does it cease when the last bit of turkey, you guys eating turkey? I don't have kids this year. I don't have to. When that last bit of turkey and pie is consumed and you painfully reach for the Alka-Seltzer, it's not over. Rather, today we are reminded that true thankfulness is to be expressed to the Lord our God every day and everything. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, receive today the earnest and joyous thanks that we, your children, do offer to you. For you alone are our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And from you alone has come every joy, every happiness, every blessing that we have known. Be pleased, Lord, with our expressions of thankfulness, however feeble they may be. And renew in us the spirit of thanksgiving, that we might live each day of our lives in thankful obedience to you. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information, please feel free to contact us at www.providencepresbyterian.org or at 281-980-2522.